Next matter is IMO Dennis J. Ori. May we have appearances, please?
Yes, good afternoon, Associate Justice of the Court.
Dennis Ori.
Just a moment, Mr. Ori. Counsel for the OAE is still speaking.
I'm Ori Arsene.
I'm sorry.
Counsel on behalf of the Office of Attorney.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Ori, your appearance.
Yes, Dennis Ori. Yes, thank you. Dennis Ori appearing pro se.
Chief Justice will be participating in this matter. He will watch the argument. Mr. Moriarty, please proceed.
Thank you, Justice Patterson. Good afternoon again. This matter comes before the court following a hearing in which the presided over by a special master regarding allegations against respondent that he practiced law while suspended. Special master sustained those findings, reviewed by the disciplinary review board, and the disciplinary review board made the recommendation based on the conduct and respondent's disciplinary that he should be disbarred as a result. These allegations arise following respondent's suspension from the practice of law versus a temporary suspension, following his conviction for honest services fraud and a subsequent three-year disciplinary suspension. Subsequent to that suspension, he began to work for several attorneys, five attorneys, within 1,967 hours and $369,000 and change for those attorneys, providing them with legal services. Now, respondent has put forth in defense of this that he was merely acting as a law clerk or a paralegal, bless you, and that paralegals and law clerks are able to work under the supervision of attorneys. While that may be true, the facts and circumstances here are different and distinguishable, that being that Mr. Ori was and continues to be a suspended attorney. And he was suspended not only temporarily following his conviction, but he was also received a disciplinary suspension as a result. Rights and privileges afforded to an individual who may be serving as a paralegal or as a law clerk are different than someone who is suffering the consequences of their unethical and criminal conduct or death. So therefore, his attempts to distinguish his conduct or liken his conduct to that of merely a paralegal or a law clerk is distinguishable and not applicable to these facts, as was clearly discussed in the decision by the Disciplinary Review Board. Now, this is not, as indicated, this is not Mr. Ori's first contact with the disciplinary system. He previously had a conviction, which was the subject of a motion for final discipline, where he received that three-year suspension, which related to conduct, which was deceitful conduct. The decision of disciplinary review board in this matter also reflects that deceitful conduct, where he was misrepresenting by his own stipulation to the other attorneys, five other attorneys, who certainly should have known better, but through no help of Mr. Ori, were brought into this situation where they employed a suspended attorney for his own financial benefit. Again, we also see circumstances here where there are certain cases which he referred and received a higher fee, where there's cases where he's communicating with clients, yes, under the in connection with these other attorneys, but nonetheless utilizing his legal expertise, that of an attorney and practice. As such, based on the totality of the circumstances presented here, with disciplinary history, the extent for which this conduct occurred for a period of over 8 years, in addition to this conduct continuing to occur, even after informed by the Office of Attorney Ethics of the impropriety of it, that the only appropriate outcome in this matter is disbarment. If the court has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
What is the OAE's position as to what constitutes practicing law, Mr. Moriarty? Is it In re Jackman, and which says whenever legal knowledge, training, skill, and ability are required, obviously in the legal field, that's the practice of law for purposes of evaluating the conduct of a suspended attorney?
Yes, I believe that the precedent of In re Jackman has been, at least for the 20 plus years that it's been the precedent, has been what has guided the unauthorized practice of law committee, has been what's guided the disciplinary system, has been what's guided even our volunteer services and what constitutes the practice of law. As the court just issued a note to the bar allowing members to retired attorneys to serve on district ethics committees, relying upon that legal knowledge and skill and ability to satisfy the practice of law. And I think that's particularly important here, Justice Patterson, in light of the fact that the benefit that these attorneys were receiving were by virtue of the legal background and skill and ability that Mr. Ori had and brought to the practice, brought them additional additional funds to their firm that were otherwise not available had they not been employed by.
Moriarty, is it impossible for a suspended attorney to ever act in the capacity of what would otherwise be deemed a paralegal? without a legal license?
Yes, by two different ways, Justice Noriega. The first is, and they're both being codified in Rule 1.20-1. The first is that a suspended attorney can't practice law, and that would be the practice of law, which has been the position and what the precedent has shown from this court over the past 20 plus years. The other part is that a New Jersey attorney cannot employ a suspended disbarred attorney as well. So both the attorneys themselves cannot do it, as well as other attorneys should not be employing them. So by those, that combination, it's something that's is an impossibility. But as we see, as the cases come before this court for reviewing disciplinary matters, it still happens, but it's happening in violation of Rule 1.20 and the disciplinary precedent.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Moriarty.
Thank you.
Mr. Ori.
Yes, Justices, thank you for allowing me to participate remotely. I know it's late in the day. I know you've read the papers that have been submitted. I just would like to leave you with a couple of comments and then answer any questions. Mr. Moriarty has stated his position on what the practice of law is. It was always my understanding in the, I don't know how many years of practice, that practicing law meant something different than performing perfunctory ministerial duties, such as brief writing, motion writing, organizing a file. Secondly, as I think I stated in one of the briefs that were submitted to you, I had asked the first attorney from the OAE, which happens to be Joanna Jones, who now, I understand, is the head of the OAE. What would happen if I worked for a janitorial service and they cleaned the office of lawyers? My recollection of her answer to me was, you can't do that. And I just don't believe, I haven't believed, that that could be the true intent of the court rule. I suppose I could be wrong. It was never my intent. In fact, I want to just say it was because after my 3-year suspension, I made application to be reinstated. It was because of the information I put on those applications that I was working for other lawyers that brought on this second investigation. The issue to me is very clear, is whether or not what I was doing can be considered the practice of law. The only other point that I would make, and then I'll answer any questions, of course, Mr. Greenberg, the hearing officer in this matter, made some relatively negative comments about I don't want to say my character, but about what I did and that I was gaming the system. I do not want to leave this court with the understanding that I agree with that at all. I cooperated 100% with the Office of Administrative of Attorney Ethics throughout this entire investigation because I believed sincerely in what my position was. It was a position different than theirs. And I hope that because I didn't take a different position, those negative comments were made, but it was never my intent to game the system. That being said, I rely on the papers that I have submitted and answer any questions.
You talked about Ms. Barbara Jones giving you advice on working for a janitorial service that cleaned up. And I understand there's some levity to that, but you weren't cleaning up the law office. You were, as I understand it, that you don't seem to dispute this, drafting correspondence, drafting briefs, meeting with clients. I assume advising clients, if you're meeting with them, you were advising them. Are you shaking your head because you didn't advise clients?
No, I did not. I was working under the other licensed attorneys. I was acting as their, lack of a better term, paralegal, law clerk, doing ministerial things. Yes, I came in contact with the clients. For example, if one of the attorneys was getting ready for trial, I developed some skills in my older age on the computer to organize files with evidence and whatnot. I would need to speak to the client about some of the evidence that would be produced, but it was always in conjunction and under the guidance of the other five attorneys. It's never like I was giving legal advice, in my opinion. Again, this is the way I viewed it. I wasn't giving a legal opinion to them. I was putting together files that I was writing. Yes, I was using my years of experience and training to write the briefs, to write the motions. That is true.
And you were in direct communication with clients about preparation for trial.
Yes, that is true.
And you were presumably getting from them information and then incorporating that into papers that you were preparing. Is that also correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And you were doing a number of other activities. You were organizing the discovery in cases. You were preparing certain legal documents and forms and so forth to be submitted to courts.
I would submit them as an example. If a motion was going to be made, I would prepare the motion, which might include an affidavit, but I would submit that to the attorney that was handling the case.
Since Ms. Barbara Jones had said to you, don't work for a cleaning service that cleans law offices, and I understand that may have been a little bit of a facetious conversation, but why is it that you thought it was acceptable for you to conduct the activities that you do not dispute conducting?
Because I never felt, and I still don't feel, that was practicing law. In my opinion, practicing law was going to court, giving legal advice, those types of things that a client would hire you for. I wasn't paid by the client of the attorney. And that was my thought process. Listen, I...
Would you agree? Go ahead. Do you agree at this point that your opinion as to what constitutes what's prohibited for someone who is a suspended attorney does not square with Rule 1:20-20?
I don't know that I could say I agree with that. I don't. And that's where the...
You don't agree with the rule.
No. The interpretation, because the interpretation of the rule requires someone to determine that I was practicing law. Now, I will say this, that the New Jersey court rule is far more stringent than some other. I cited the case, a federal case, for example. But no, my thought process was that I could do what I was doing so long as I wasn't giving legal advice or making court appearances.
So you said that you were doing all this work like a clerk. Rule 1:20-20 states that a suspended attorney is prohibited from practicing law in any form, either as a principal agent, servant, clerk, or employee of another.
Yes. I don't believe I was practicing law. I was doing the ministerial things, I don't know, 40 years ago, as I did when I was a law clerk, a second year law student. I worked for a firm and I prepared their briefs and I prepared the affidavits and I took direction from the attorneys. That in my mind was why I was doing what I was doing.
And when you were admitted a year or 2 years and working under the supervision of attorneys and doing presumably preparing documents, drafting, sitting in on client meetings, but not going to court yet, perhaps, were you practicing law then?
If I had my license, yeah. In other words, in fact, I worked through a...
You had your license, and when you were starting out as a...
I could practice law at that point in time. I was able to practice law, yes.
You were able. I'm asking whether when you were starting out and you were working under the supervision of more experienced attorneys and you were drafting documents and sitting in on client meetings, communicating with the client, organizing discovery, putting the file together, maybe assisting in getting ready for trial. Were you practicing law?
No, I mean, the answer is no, because if I was working under an attorney who was giving advice to the client, I wasn't.
So is it your...
In other words, I was doing...
If your definition of practicing law is that if you're not the one who's giving advice to the client and you're not going to court, you're not practicing law?
No, I think if I have a license and I could give advice to the attorney, my not giving advice could be an office requirement. In other words, a senior attorney has to give the advice and I would speak to that attorney. I never worked in a big law office, so I'm just surmising here that if there's a rule in the office that second year attorneys don't give advice to clients unless it's in conjunction with the senior attorney, then no, I wasn't giving legal advice. So, I was preparing the documents. That's true.
So when you mentioned you didn't think what you were doing during this time period in question was any different than what the work you did as a second year law student, as a clerk at that time, were you splitting fees with the attorneys that you worked with? Because it's my understanding. It's my understanding.
Okay,
in the record, you stipulated that you did agree in at least one instance with the attorney, Paul Sinceri, to split.
Paul Sincere.
Sincere. To split fees. Is that something that a law clerk
I did not agree to split fees with him. I agreed on a dollar amount that I would get on an hourly basis. Now, some of the attorneys that I worked for, I can't remember really offhand what I was charging them on an hourly basis. But no, I wasn't splitting fees, and I denied that. Now, I admitted, I don't know, over 100 of the paragraphs of the complaint, the factual... what's the word I'm looking for? The factual background of this. I have admitted to doing the work, what I was doing, and so forth. I did not admit that I was splitting a fee. I was getting paid hourly.
So you, for the case involving, did you stipulate that you encouraged Sincere to represent a particular client with regard to money in her bank account? Do you know which case I'm referring to?
That was Mr. Sathir's client, not mine, his friend. And I worked on a case, if we're talking about the same person, I can't think of her last name. She also lived here in Florida, but I agreed to work on that file, and I forget what the hourly rate was, but I wasn't stealing the people. I didn't send out the bills.
But you made a stipulation before you stipulated, you didn't stipulate before the ethics hearing that you encouraged him to represent this woman and that Sincere would have testified that you and he agreed to split the fees, the funds evenly.
Okay, it may be in the decision, but I don't know that I agreed to have said that I stipulated to that I had split the fee. Yes, I did encourage him to take on work because I was working for him. And he lived actually 10 miles from where I live here, so it was quite convenient. But no, I don't believe that I agreed to split a fee.
Mr. Howard, do you currently have a license to practice in any other state?
No.
Is it your intention on practicing law in any other state?
No. At 73, I wouldn't take the bar exam again.
Depending on our decision, if you were able to get back your license in New Jersey, would you seek to reobtain your license here?
Yes, I would like to get my license back. I don't know. Frankly, I thought somebody might ask me this. I have no intention of moving from Florida at this stage of my life. But yes, I would like to reapply to get my license back.
Any other questions? Anything else you'd like to say, Mr. Uri?
No, I think from what I'm gathering, everybody read the papers. I don't think you need me to talk some more. Almost 5 o'clock at night.
No, the time doesn't matter.
I understand.
You'd like to say you're.
I understand. No, there's nothing else I'd like to say. I just did not. It's important to me that the court doesn't leave here today with an impression that I was, as was put, I think, gaming the system. I believed in what I was doing and that it was okay to do what I was doing. I don't want anybody to think that I was gaming, because frankly, as I said before, I'll repeat myself, the way this came about was my honesty, so to speak, on the application for reinstatement. I'll stand by that. If you rule against me on the interpretation of the rule, so be it. But I don't want you believing that in any way I was gaming the system. And I don't know where Mr. Greenberg. I don't think I testified before Mr. Greenberg. To be honest, I always viewed this as a legal point, and that I did not deny any of the facts. Those that I could remember. There were some I couldn't remember.
Thank you. Anything else, sir?
No.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement.